chapter 4. It's where our text is. Let's pray, and then we'll read the scriptures together tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the time together. We pray that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, hearts that are ready and willing to receive your word, to receive your word with all readiness of mind, that we will take the scriptures home and study them to see if these things are so, that we would seek to know Christ, we would seek to love you more, seek to live for you and serve you faithfully, to be real disciples. And Lord, please help us to be disciples who make disciples for your glory. Forgive our failures. We pray by your mercy and your grace that you would cleanse us of our unrighteousness, that you would help us to do the things you've called us to do by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. We're going to stop right there. We're going to look at this chapter in two sections, verses 1 through 7, and then we'll finish up with the last half of the chapter, verses 8 through 12. Not the last half of the chapter, but the last portion we're going to look at tonight, verses 8 through 12. First of all, would you notice we need to realize that we have received how to walk and to please God. As we have received how to walk and to please God, we ought to abound in that more and more. I think there's a tendency for us as human beings to try to put things on cruise control, to try to work hard for a little while and get to a level where we can just kind of maintain. Did any of you guys ever ride bicycles growing up? Anybody still ride bikes? Sometimes? They say that you never forget how. I haven't tested it in a little while, but listen, when I was a kid, we used to ride bikes a lot, and it was really nice when you got to the top of the hill. Right? I mean, getting up the hill was hard. You got to stand up, you got to really pump, or if you were like me, you'd have to get off and push. But it was really nice when you got to the top because you could just coast. And it was really nice when you got on a long stretch where you could just coast. And I think it's on our nature. We work hard, we want to just coast. The problem is, spiritually speaking, once we get up to the top, we think we've arrived. We've never arrived until we're just like Jesus. And there is no coasting for us, because as Christians spiritually, if we're not moving forward, if we're not putting effort in, we're going to slide back. That's the reality. There is no cruise control. There is no autopilot for us. We are either moving forward in the power of the Spirit in obedience to Christ, or we're moving back. And so we don't like that, because we want to, I mean, let's face it, we want things to be easy. And being Christians, living for Jesus, isn't easy. And so he says, in the things that you've learned, how to walk and to please God, we want to encourage you that you would abound more and more. And the reality is, if you're listening to this message, you've at least heard some, you've received some of how to walk. You got some idea of how to live for Jesus. You've received from the Word of God some, to some degree, how you ought to please God with your life. You already know the right things to do. You already know the wrong things to avoid. Everybody with me right now? We already know. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. We know what to do. We know what not to do. And he said, so don't get complacent. Don't be apathetic, but please him more and more. Abound more and more in that, in our obedience to Christ. You know the commandments that Christ has given us. And if you would say to me tonight, preacher, I don't know the commands of Jesus, I can tell you where to find them. They're right there in the scriptures. Just open your Bible and study and find out what Christ has commanded. He said a wise man will hear and do the things he's commanded. That's how you build your life on the rock. If you hear his commandments and you don't do them, you're going to be like a foolish man building your life on the sand. And we want to be wise. So he goes into some details about commandments we ought to obey. You know what commandments. And then he says in verse 3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. In obedience to Christ, the first thing he tells us about in verses 3 through 5 is to abstain from fornication. He says, keep your body in sanctification. This is the word for purity. Keep your body in sanctification or purity, and keep your body in honor. This word honor means valuable or precious. And can I say to you that your purity, the honor of your body, is valuable and precious. I want you to stay with me for a second, because I think most of you have been around church very long. You've get this idea, and we think about it a lot with our young people. We want to challenge our young people to remain pure. All right, at least three of us do. You guys awake tonight? We want our young people to remain pure, don't we? In what they see and what they think, and certainly in what they do, we want our young people to remain pure. Purity. I remember when I was first coming up, maybe it'd been around a long time. I didn't know about it until I was a teenager. But purity rings became very popular for a while. You guys familiar with purity rings? Anybody know what those are? A lot of parents would give them to their daughters when they were coming of age, and they would challenge their daughters to remain pure, give them a purity ring as a commitment to God to for a young woman to save herself until marriage. And there ought to be an equivalent for that for young men too. But I want to help you out tonight. This call to purity is not just for young people. It's for all people. Every believer is called to keep themselves in purity. Abstain from fornication. You guys all know that fornication is the Greek word porneia. It means sexual sin. And really, my understanding of it is this. Fornication is kind of like an umbrella term. It encompasses all kinds of sexual sin. That could be those type of relations outside of marriage or before marriage. That could be homosexuality. That could be any kind of watching or looking at pornography. All of those things are under the umbrella of fornication. And the Word of God says, stay away from it. Keep yourself away from it. And listen, there's a reason that these things are so available and so in your face in our society today, because Satan knows God wants you to be sanctified and keep yourself from those things. Satan is always going to be on the attack. Abstain from fornication. Keep your body in sanctification. Keep your body in honor, because your purity, your body, is valuable and precious. Remember, we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, because they both belong to Jesus. Every part of your being has been purchased by Christ. Everything about you belongs to Him. So keep it, protect it. Realize how valuable it is. He says that every one of you, verse 4, should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. This is lustful desires, that concupiscence. And so he says you ought to know how to possess your vessel. That's language to say you ought to know how to keep your body. Your body belongs to Jesus. Guard it, keep it, protect it. And can I just help you out with this? These types of things that we're going to deal with as far as fornication go, those sins start right up here. They start right here. Primarily, they start with your eyes. But it always goes with a thought. And so let me help you. When you have thoughts that are not right, bring them into subjection to the obedience of Christ. We live in a world that's filled with all kinds of things, and you're going to see things that you don't want to see. You're going to see things that you ought not see. Okay? Everybody with me right now? Okay. It's going to be 20 degrees tomorrow, so probably not while you're driving down the road. You probably won't see something you shouldn't see unless it's on a billboard. And there are things on billboards around here that you ought not see. You might sit down in the waiting room somewhere and pick and see a magazine. And it might not be a dirty magazine. It might just be what people think are a regular magazine. But there are things in those magazines that nobody needs to see. You might turn on your television or open up your phone. And you're going to see things in this world that you don't need to see. And the difference is whether you look again or not. Now, we can talk about David and Bathsheba. David should have been at war. He wasn't where he should have been. It was the time for kings to go to war. He also, what was he doing? The Bible says he got out of bed in the evening. Like, what's he doing getting out of bed when it's nighttime? Right? He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing, but it put him in a position. But when he goes up on the rooftop and he sees Bathsheba, it wasn't necessarily sinful for him to see her the first time, but then he kept looking. All right, everybody with me? I know some of you are thinking the story I've told you a dozen times about Steve Spires. I remember it was one of the first times he got back in the pulpit after he had cut off these fingers, and he was talking about David and Bathsheba. He said, listen, David wasn't sinning the first time if he'd have just done this. But, you know, sometimes you forget. No, that's not good, but this would have been good, right? Turn around and go away. So I just want to help you, because sometime you're going to see something you don't need to see, and when you do, turn away from it. Listen, I don't care. I don't care what you got to do to eliminate those. We are to get away from fornication, abstain from it. How many of you guys have ever seen the movie Fireproof? Anybody ever seen that movie? You guys remember what Caleb does with his computer? If you haven't seen it, you got to go watch it now. It's one of my favorite scenes. Caleb, I love the neighbor. Listen, if you got to smash your computer, if you got to get rid of your phone, if you whatever you have to do, this is your sanctification, your honor is precious. Right? Now, we talk about abstaining from fornication and staying in purity and realizing the preciousness of the bodies which Christ has given us. Let me help you out. If you have not been faithful, if you have not remained pure, God is not done with you. There is forgiveness available. And there is cleansing available. And Satan, who may have won in a battle to cause you to give in to temptation, listen to me, you may feel like you are trash and you're filthy and that you are done and God could never use you again. And he thinks that he's won, but he hasn't won, because Christ is faithful and just to forgive us if we will confess to him. And you can be forgiven and you can be cleansed and God can still use you. He's not done with you. He's not done with you, or you wouldn't be here right now. Amen. So don't give up. Don't give in to the lies of the tempter. But I will say this, it's far easier. It's far easier to avoid the temptation in the first place than it is to get over it and move on. But you can. You can. This is the way, giving in to those things is the way those who don't know God are. Not like, don't give in to lustful desires like unbelievers. And then in verse 6 he says, don't go beyond and defraud your brother in any matter. Now, in particular, I believe verse 6 is applying to what he's talking about in the context. He's talking about don't defraud your brother. In other words, don't commit adultery. But it also applies to anything else. Stay in your lane. Stay in bounds. This goes back to the commandments. Listen, it's not wrong for a young man to want a wife. He just can't want someone else's wife. Right? And so you don't defraud your brother in that or in anything else. Why? Because the Lord will avenge the one who has been transgressed against. So let's love our neighbors, which is what he's been talking about throughout this last couple of chapters, is loving one another. And so keep yourselves in purity. So one, as you received how to walk and to please God, abound more and more. Now, the second part, verse 8. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. So in the first section, we see that we need to As we know how to walk and please God, we abound more and more. In the second section, we see that we should never reject God. Don't reject God. God has not called us to uncleanness, but he's called us to holiness. Verse 8, therefore, when you despise the commandments of God, when you despise the call to walk in holiness, when you despise or reject the call to walk and to please God, when you do that, you're not rejecting men, you're rejecting God. I think sometimes we associate the commandments of God with whoever told us. If your mama taught you how to walk with Jesus and you decide not to walk with Jesus, you feel like I've rejected my mom. But ultimately, you didn't reject mom, you rejected God. If your grandmama taught you to walk with Jesus and you reject what grandmama taught you, you didn't reject her, you rejected God. If your pastor tried to admonish you to walk with Jesus and you don't listen and you reject that admonishment, then what you have done, not reject your pastor, but you rejected God. See, ultimately, we're rejecting him. And he says, don't reject him, the same one who has given us his Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Do you know it? If you're saved and you know it, it's because, I was going to say clap your hands. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Okay, if you're saved and you know it, it's because of the Word of God, and it's because of the Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to say this. Even if you didn't know Romans 8 that tells you that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God, even if you didn't know that verse, you probably, when you got saved, you knew you were saved. Then you study the scriptures and you find out why you know that you know that you're saved. But the scriptures, it's the Word of God that gives us that assurance, and it's the Spirit of God that gives us that assurance. And so here's what he's saying. You know how you ought to walk and to please God, and when you reject that, you're rejecting the God, not men, but the God who gave you his Holy Spirit, who made you alive, and by whom you know that you have eternal life. You see how messed up it is? Rejecting the one who gave you life? That's not right. And so he's saying, don't reject God. Don't despise God. As touching brotherly love, verse 9, you don't need me to tell you, because you're taught of God to love one another. I talked this morning a little bit about how we can meet Christians anywhere from around the world, and when we meet them, there's a connection with them immediately because the Spirit that's in us is in them. And I love those brothers when I meet them. I love those sisters when I meet them. I don't have to be told to do that. I just do because there's a connection with them because we have been saved by the same Savior. And so there's a brotherly love. He said, I don't have to tell you about it. God has already shown you to love one another. Verse 10, he says, and you do. You do love all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But then he says this at the end of verse 10, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. See, here's the deal. You and I, we're sitting here tonight, we can say, you can look around the room, look at all your brothers and sisters, say, I love these people. Can you do that? Hey, just look around. Don't pick somebody you don't, but look around. I mean, really, look around at the people. Like, don't you love these people? I love these people. Love a lot of people that aren't here tonight. Love them. I love you people. We have that love. And Paul recognizes that they love one another, but he says, increase more and more. You can look around and say, I love these people. I've been loving these people for 40 years, but you can still increase in your love. Don't be satisfied. Don't be satisfied in the amount that we love each other, but love each other more and more. In verse 11, he said, study to be quiet. Children, pay attention. Study to be quiet. And to do your own business. Everyone, listen, to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. What's he saying here in these verses? Verse 11, study. That literally has it literally means to be fond of honor. It's a compound word that means to be fond of honor. We get the idea from it to be ambitious. It's translated sometimes labor or strive. He says, study, and then he says to be quiet. This means to not be a busybody. So he's saying, be ambitious, but don't be ambitious to be a busybody. Be ambitious to do your own business. Be ambitious to work with your own hands. Kindergarten, Braggs, Oklahoma. I'm 5 years old. If Mrs. Craig told me to mind my own business once, she told me 1,000 times. I was always in kindergarten, I was always worried about everybody else's business. And Mrs. Craig said, mind your own business. And I really didn't know what that meant. I didn't understand what the problem was. These are my friends. I care about what they're doing. Right? Stay in your seat. Be quiet. Mind your own business. Some teachers here, have you ever said that to any kids? Mind your business. Mm-hmm. You worry about you. Yeah, that's good. This is what Paul's saying. Mind your business. Be ambitious. Study. Like, be diligent. But to mind your own business. Be ambitious to do what God's called you to do. Now look real quick at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. 2 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 13. He says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Now that's the second letter that he writes. We're going to study that in just a few weeks. But isn't it amazing that he has to repeat himself? I mean, he already tells them here. Later he's going to write him another letter and he's going to say, listen, I told you guys to mind your business, to take care of your business and not be a busybody, but there were still some that would be that way. Shocking, isn't it? It's almost like when you have to tell your kids the same thing more than once. That's shocking. Can't believe you have to do that. Like the Lord has to tell us the same thing over and over and over again because we don't listen, because we're stubborn. Well, what he's saying is, mind your own business, do your own work. Isn't it amazing how when we're not busy with our own business, we can be in the middle of other people's business? Okay, y'all looking like me, looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Like, I don't want to start naming names, but I can if you need me to. Mind your business, because if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you're going to end up in other people's business. Idleness, they say, is the devil's workshop. There's probably some truth to that. You say, well, Brother Isaac, I'm retired, or I'm just in school, I don't have a job yet, or all the other excuses anybody can make. I want to say this. I think God's got work for all of us to do. Business for us to be about for his kingdom. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. We had to work with our hands. We had to strive to be diligent, to be busy, to do what God has set in front of us to do. If you don't know what work God has for you to do, you could pray about it. And I think he'll show you. Study to be quiet. Do your own business. Work with your own hands. And verse 12 says, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. Walk honestly, decently toward unbelievers. Walk honestly and decently toward others. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans 13, 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And Romans, this portion of scripture from Romans 13 really encapsulates what Paul's saying here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's saying, listen, there's no time to coast. There's no time to put it in cruise control. There's no time for autopilot. We've got to keep moving forward for Jesus because our time is coming to an end. The day is at hand. If you're going to get busy for Jesus, you better do it now. So put off fornication and the works of the flesh and put on the righteousness of Jesus and do the work that he's called you to do. Don't reject God who's given you his spirit. You know how to walk and to please God. So abound more and more. Abound more and more in good works for Christ by the power of the Spirit. Abound more and more in the love of others. The challenge for us tonight really comes down to this. I ask you if you're saved. Some of you said amen. Some of you didn't say amen, but you are saved. It really is this simple. Live like you're saved. You know the commandments of Christ. Keep them more and more. You know Christ has given you life through his Spirit. Live for him more and more by the power of his Spirit. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Will you stand with me? While they're coming, let's pray together. Merciful Father, I pray tonight that you would just bless your word in spite of me. I pray as you've convicted our hearts tonight that we would respond in faith and obedience. Lord, if anyone hearing this message has never been born again, I pray that they would repent of their sin and unbelief and trust in Christ, the Savior of the world, who died for them and rose again. We know eternal life is only available to those who trust in Christ. So we pray for the lost that they'll believe. We pray for the saved that they'll take the first step of obedience and being baptized, that you'll help all of us to walk with Jesus day by day. Lord, if anyone's in need of forgiveness tonight, that they'll confess their sins to you and receive the forgiveness and cleansing that only you give. We pray for anyone who needs encouragement in their heart, that your Spirit would strengthen them. Help us to love you. Help us to love one another. And Lord, we pray your will would be done at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.